Hey, happy Friday the 13th. We're talking about flowers today, and you're thinking, how are flowers spooky? I'll tell you. We've got ghosts. We've got some superstitions. We've got flowers being a little bit like superheroes, true crimes, some scams, and honestly, a rich end of episode.
And we're going to call out the Brewers again.
You know us. Sports girls. Hi, welcome to True Creeps,
where the stories are true
and the creeps are real.
We'll cover stories from grotesque gore
to the possibly plausible paranormal
to horrifying history
to tense and terrible true crime
and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda,
and I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody. Today we've got another grab bag episode. We're going to chat about flowers. We're going to call it a bouquet episode, if you will. Now, we've got a special little treat for you at the end of this episode, because I'm trying to say we're going to be better on the tangents on this time around, but we're actually deciding to restart our recording because we went on so many tangents that we got lost in the sauce. Enjoy full chaos.
Half a page of our outline in 20 minutes, if that gives you any idea of what just happened.
And she's not exaggerating. So, we're talking about flowers, we've got myths, we've got true crime, we've got hauntings, and some interesting flower science facts, because I'm a flower scientist now.
Clearly.
Obviously. But they're related to some disasters that we've talked about before. What better to talk about right around Valentine's Day other than flowers? Okay, so we're going to dive right into episode stuff. We have talked about flowers in a good bit of our episodes, and mainly in the context of poisons. In our Queen of Poisons episode, we talked about Julia Tofana's Aqua Tofana, which is rumored to have included Belladonna. And then we also talked about Oleander and Poison Tea in the Lavinia Fisher episode. Just fun time. That's also where we started talking about evil horses, because they were with the highwaymen.
Important.
That being said, we're just going to skip the rest of poisonous flowers for today, because we've talked about those before. So we wanted to talk about some other stuff. One historical fun fact is what we've titled this section, but I would say question mark to facts, because I don't know how much I believe this. Some sources say that roses were used as currency in the 17th century.
We need to go back to that.
I love that for us, you know?
Actually, no, because I'd be fucked. They don't grow here.
Yeah, I can't grow a single fucking thing. And then also that Victorian homes in the 19th century typically all had a Bible and a flower dictionary. I feel like in Victorian times, people were communicating via anything other than talking. We had fans and such things.
Let's go back to that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to some superstitions and myths. First off, about roses. So it's thought that planting a rose next to a grave can protect that soul from evil, and that in Roman times, they would hang roses or they would be carved over dinner tables or meeting spaces to make sure that the conversations beneath that rose would stay secret. I'm not understanding the logic here on this. Like, are they soundproof? Are they creating a barrier? Are they distracting to people who are nosy? I don't know.
No, it's just a magic rose being carved into walls. I don't understand what is not to understand.
I don't either. Look, the first time I said this next part, hilarious, I whispered it. I'm going to try to read it reasonably this time around, but who knows how it's going to come out of my mouth. So, some of the myths around flowers are tied to numerology, and worldnumerology.com defines numerology as... I can't say it normal. Did you hear me start to say it?
Yeah, you did.
I immediately was like, hit it with that razzle-dazzle, you know? I can't help it. An ancient practice based on the idea that the entire universe is a system that mathematically breaks down into basic elements. Numbers.
Ooh.
The practice reveals the inner nature and vibration of numbers and how they correspond to your personal characteristics. That's a lot for me to wrap my head around. I love it. You want to believe in whatever you want to believe. You want to believe in numbers. You do it. I'm not great with numbers, so I don't want to do that. But some of the things are not so mathy and more just like figuring out the correct and appropriate number of flowers to give someone. So some cultures believe that giving an even amount of flowers in a bouquet symbolizes death.
Yikes.
Maybe for Valentine's Day, not so romantic. And then another superstition is from Ireland, and they say that primrose on your doorstep will entice the fairies to protect your home and all who live there. And that if you're walking around, you should probably not walk through primrose patches because they're believed to be a gateway into the fairy world.
Watch your step.
Watch your fucking step. In Ireland. Next up, poppies. They're beloved for their gorgeous color and their medicinal properties. People have believed that poppies can bring good crops and banish worries. And poppy bouquets are typically 13 stems because any less would bring bad luck. That just sounds like big poppy is like buy more poppies, doesn't it?
It's the poppy industry.
It's the poppy industry. It all. We're bringing down big poppy.
So speaking of luck, we have a bunch of superstitions about luck too. And jasmine brings good luck and prosperity in India. In China, sunflowers are thought to bring good luck and lasting happiness. I do like sunflowers. I did have a sunflower garden for a while in my backyard.
I think that they're the cutest.
So giving someone flowers before a performance is considered bad luck. This is for all performances, including sports. So that's why you typically see people giving others flowers after performances, not before.
I thought you were going to say...
Also, what would they do with it?
I thought you were going to say, and I don't know why, this is where my head went, that's why you see sports teams giving each other flowers for the games. For the games. Like that's a rich sports tradition. And now all I can imagine is the fucking Brewers giving all the fucking teams flowers.
The Brewers, when they check in, when their visiting team checks into the hotel, they have bouquets of flowers in all the rooms.
They're fucking... They are not fucking around.
Okay, so more superstitions surrounding luck and flowers. Marigolds protect against witchcraft and bad luck.
I love the irony of practicing protective witchcraft and then acting like it's also not witchcraft too.
It protects you against witchcraft as you're doing the witchcraft.
If I get this magical flower, it will protect me against magic. Sweetie, okay. Sweetie.
So bouquets with red and white flowers are thought to bring misfortune and death to someone if they are already sick. So do not give those to someone who is sick.
This is stressing me out. The flower rules.
I know. I said, I don't want flowers.
Yeah.
Go plant them somewhere.
They're going to take your luck. Bring your luck. The right colors.
Too complicated. No. So in Russia, white carnations specifically take away a person's good luck and talent. So the Brewers, again, it's a bouquet of white flowers.
And if they hear that someone's got the sniffles, they throw a red one in there just for good measure. Yeah, I know. Rough.
Wow, they're getting rough. Dark. In Scotland, lilac and hawthorn bring bad luck and sometimes death into the home.
It sounds like someone's, like a series of people had very bad allergies and or bad things happened to them after someone brought them flowers. And they were like, well, it could only be the lilac and hawthorn, not this person who stabbed me.
That's what you see. What I see is it's competing flower companies. And they're like, they sell a lot of this. Did you know that their bouquets will kill you?
It's all Big Poppy. It's all Big Poppy. It all comes back to Big Poppy.
I want that as episode art too. Now, a single daffodil will bring bad stuff. So always give more than one. Also in a separate vase. The Brewers have just one daffodil.
Yeah, they actually have 12 single vases of daffodils in each room. They do like a 1-2.
Okay, okay, yeah. Yeah, I love that we have an obsession with the Brewers now.
Amanda and I are sports girls, and it's specifically for the Brewers.
I have never seen one game ever in my entire life. So now, yeah, let's talk about the good old saying, he loves me, he loves me not, situation, whatever you want to call it, where you pluck petals off the flower saying the phrase, and then whenever the petals run out, that's your answer, right? That's a whole way flowers are used.
Are people still doing that?
I guess. I hope not. That's a waste of a flower.
Yeah. And if you have to ask a flower, he doesn't, or she doesn't, or they don't. So in our tangent section of our mimic episode, Amanda was talking about how we know that plants scream. So this really just paints like a different picture of that plucking the flowers like, ah!
Oh, you're just like...
Torture. Yeah, I know.
Oh, gosh.
There you go. You're welcome.
That's so sad.
It is.
It's like a massacre. Okay, another terrible thing to think. Someone you love will die soon if a petal falls off of a rose that you're holding. So do not shake your roses or you will be killing people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yellow roses are bad news all around, especially for romantic gifts. They symbolize unfaithfulness and are thought to bring fights and eventual breakups.
Someone's going to listen to this and then their significant other is going to come home that day with like yellow flowers, thinking that they're being kind.
Right. It's and like their favorite color is yellow.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're just going to look at them out of the corner of their eye a little different.
Well, because everyone listens to us, they should know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they should have known better.
Yeah. This is to help the world. So let's talk about divination now.
Classic flower discussion.
Yeah. Yeah. Dandelions are believed to help with divination and prophetic abilities when their roots are brewed into tea.
We get so many dandelions here. I'm going to have some wild dandelion tea this summer. What a time. Play the lotto.
Lucky. So I have been trying to grow dandelions in my backyard for years.
Stop.
And they will not grow.
That makes my heart hurt. I will make sure that I take a picture of my backyard so you can see like what it looks like, because
he's like a fuck you or what?
No, just to like, I thought that you would enjoy it. Damn, fuck. Fine, Amanda. If you can't have dandelions, no one can. A little toxic, no, if you're asking me, but who am I?
You're like, look at what my yard does without all of the work that you're putting
into yours. Yeah, but right now my entire yard is covered in ice, which means moose poop is sitting on top of it. So I look outside and it's beautiful snow with little poops.
Perfect.
Moose out there like trying not to fall. She's 13.
Poor thing. So we're talking about dandelions. So it is my tortoise's favorite snack is dandelions. And I have to order them for her to eat them because I can't just go pick them at a random place in case there's like
pesticides
weird
or
stuff.
Yeah, I got you.
So I have to order them, but she does love them. But also, when I was trying to figure out why the fuck I can't grow dandelions, there's this big conspiracy surrounding it that there's so many healing properties, like so many. There's books about dandelion healing properties and how like you can use it for a million different things and different reasons to help yourself. And that the conspiracy is like companies like Roundup and stuff mm-hmm. call it a weed. And try to change your way of thinking of like dandelions are just bad and they're ugly weeds, but they're cute. I don't know. And so Big Pharma is behind it because they want people sick, because they want to be able to treat the sick people when all you really need is the dandelion that should be able to grow anywhere.
I'm tired.
I know. It's such a weird theory. I've seen a few just in passing videos on it and stuff because I was always like Googling like,
yeah, you're like,
do I do to make a dandelion grow? And it's like, oh no, it's because all the shit that's been put in all these like weed killers and stuff to get rid of dandelions. But dandelions are so good.
Poor dandelions.
So weird. I know. So let's move on to something a little more fun, right? Haunted flower shops. That's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one called the Lawrence Mayer Florist. And that's in Macon, Georgia. It's in the Hardeman Mayer Building, which is built in 1840 for Payne's Apothecary. Payne received a script from Dr. Ambrose Baber. I love the name Ambrose, who was a prominent physician in the area. Payne refused to fill the compound because he thought that there was an error.
That feels very reasonable, by the way.
It does. Yeah.
He's like, hey, like I'm actually a little worried. Let me just make sure this is safe.
Yeah. Yeah. And pharmacists find a lot of issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like my sister worked in a pharmacy for a while. And she's like, a lot of the time we're like, taking this together will kill you. So please don't. But anyways, so Dr. Baber was super pissed off and he went to confront Payne. After yelling at him, Dr. Baber went behind the counter and proceeded to fill the prescription himself. He was so confident that it was the correct prescription that Dr. Baber drank the compound. Dr. Baber then adjusted his tie and promptly died. He's believed to still stick around in the building, which is now the Lawrence Mayer Florist. Not surprisingly, he still has a shitty attitude. And Dr. Baber knocks merchandise off the shelf and even messes up flower arrangements. He, like, when there's 13 flowers, he pulls it out and he's like, 12's unlucky. This will fuck them up.
Yeah, obviously.
The brewers told me to do this.
Yeah, he's pro brewers. He's also pro Big Poppy.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, he's not a nice guy. So our natural thing to talk about after a haunted florist is super sunflowers. I found this research to be some of the most interesting stuff for this episode. I did not know that sunflowers were such little rock stars. Yeah. So in 1986, Ilya Raskin and his research group at Rutgers University found that the uranium concentration in contaminated Ohio water was reduced by 6% in just 24 hours after sunflowers were planted nearby.
Oh, wow.
Amazing, right? Then in 1994, there was a multinational effort to clean up the radioactive elements that were present in Chernobyl. We talked about the Chernobyl disaster in detail in one of our Mothman episodes, but here's just a very brief recap of what the Chernobyl disaster is. We do get more into it in our other episode. So the disaster itself is often referred to as just Chernobyl, but it occurred at a nuclear power station in Chernobyl, Ukraine. It was caused by a combination of poorly trained personnel and a flaw in the design of the reactor. There were two deaths from the explosion itself, but the biggest impact was from the radioactive elements that were released into the atmosphere as a result of the core's explosion. Roughly 50 square kilometers across Belarus, Ukraine, and Russia were contaminated, which resulted in mutations in plants and animals. Over 350,000 people were relocated. Then, within just a few weeks of the explosion, 28 more people died from acute radiation syndrome. 134 people who worked at the plant or were part of the cleanup were diagnosed with acute radiation syndrome after that. The total number of people who died or were harmed in some way from the Chernobyl disaster is unknown because it's really hard to figure out a concrete number when you can't really get a firm grasp on, did they develop a disease later in life because of being exposed to radioactive elements, or did they get cancer for another reason? Did they get a syndrome for another reason? There's also psychological effects like suicide, substance abuse, and apathy, and it's really hard to tie those down to a particular cause. Additionally, over 1,800 children got thyroid cancer, and this is from children who were in close proximity to the explosion when they were 0 to 14 years old. So all this to say, the explosion was incredibly destructive to people, animals, and the environment. So let's get into what these sunflowers have done so far and what they're doing. Sunflowers were planted as close as 1 kilometer from the explosion site, which is about 0.6 miles. So the sunflowers were planted pretty close to the actual explosion site. The reason that they did this is because through that research that we talked about earlier, sunflowers were found to be what's called a hyperaccumulator. And hyperaccumulators are plants that can absorb high concentrations of metal through their root system. There are over 400 known hyperaccumulator plants, so it's not just sunflowers. When the hyperaccumulator absorbs the metal through their roots, it's then transported through their stems to their leaves or their flower head. And that's called phytoremediation.
Flower scientist.
Flower scientist. Interestingly, of these 400 known hyperaccumulator plants, sunflowers are especially good at sucking up radioactive metals like cesium-137 and strontium-90, which were both found at Chernobyl in large quantities.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, oh, radioactive material into the sunflower. The sunflower is magic. And now everything's all gravy.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. No, wrong. Oh. Once the sunflowers are fully grown, they are harvested and then burned. And then those radioactive materials are vitrified into Pyrex glass. And vitrification is just a fancy word for when you mix dangerous substance like radioactive metals into glass to kind of store them somewhere.
Okay.
And then for the Chernobyl sunflowers, the Pyrex glass that they make with the radioactive materials is stored in an underground container that's then heavily shielded as well. I found this so fascinating. And interestingly, one would think sunflowers are roughly sunflowers, correct? So you're like, okay, I bet other sunflower varieties will be effective at absorbing metals.
Yeah.
Another variety of sunflowers was planted after the nuclear power plant in Japan was hit by a tsunami after experiencing a record-breaking earthquake. And this is the Fukushima nuclear explosion. And we talked about this one in our Mothman episode as well.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, in Fukushima, the sunflowers weren't nearly as effective. Scientists don't really understand what makes some varieties of sunflowers more or less effective at absorbing metals. I just love that we have flowers kicking ass. What a cool fucking thing. Love it.
See, it can be used for good. It's not just bad luck and death.
Yeah, brewers. No. So as scientists are trying to figure out why were the sunflowers more effective in Chernobyl as opposed to Fukushima, there's also speculation that it might not be the variety so much as the timing of when the sunflowers were planted. Because in Chernobyl, it was many, many years later, versus in Fukushima, they planted them pretty immediately because they knew at that point that it could help.
Interesting.
Right? I didn't realize we were doing such toxic cleanup with flowers. We should be hearing about this more.
Right? That, well, even just plants in your house. Like, mm-hmm. I want to say it's a spider plant
mm-hmm.
can filter a large room, just like one. So it's good to hang them in like classrooms or your living room or something like that.
I can't keep any plant alive other than this tiny spider plant that is literally right above my sink in my kitchen. I thought that it had been holding on by a hope and a prayer and whimsy, and that sometimes, like, it was, I don't know, I was like, I water it. Sometimes it's been desiccated. It's lived a life. Turns out Ben has been tending to this spider plant for literally years. He like pulls it out of the little jar. He like cleans it off because we keep it in water as opposed to soil. He's been like lovingly taking care of this plant. And I'm like, it's alive through hope.
He's like, literally once a week, I have scheduled time.
Plant daddy. Yeah. He's like spider baby.
I know. I have several plants like in our big living room, kitchen, dining room area. But also, like I said, I'm afraid to like trim them and kill them and or harm them.
Yeah, because they scream.
Yeah, they're screaming. So like they're just taking over the house and it's their house now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair, though. Yeah. I think it helps with the air quality.
It's a good thing to learn how to grow some things.
Yeah.
In this day and age.
So we've talked about superstitions. We've talked about how plants can help horrible things that have happened, right? Now let's talk about plants in true crime, which I don't really think about. Flowers and true crime.
Mm-mm.
So we're going to talk about the murder of Deltrice Benson. Mary McKenna goes to the Minneapolis Police Department's homicide office every year with flowers or another plant to remind the detectives to not forget about her daughter, Deltrice Benson, whose murder has remained unsolved for 30 years.
That breaks my heart.
It does. And the fact, like, every year she's like, let's remind them that my daughter was a human. So Mary fostered Deltrice for about a year and a half before she went to live with her biological mother, Jody Benson. Deltrice continued to live with the McKenna family on the weekends, so they still did have a relationship. Mary said that Deltrice was a Girl Scout and that she played basketball and softball. Deltrice's sister, Jamie, said that she was on the school's ballet, jazz, and gymnastic teams. That's a lot of extracurriculars.
Yeah.
Mary also said that Deltrice wanted to help missing kids one day and that she wanted to be someone like John Walsh. That's a big dream.
Yeah.
He hosted America's Most Wanted and was the head of the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. Deltrice was just a couple weeks shy of her 13th birthday when she was murdered. On the evening of February 9th of 1990, Deltrice and Mary spoke on the phone. Deltrice told Mary that she was worried about there being drugs at her mother's house. Now, Mary offered to come get her, but Deltrice insisted that she didn't want to get her mother in trouble. Deltrice was home alone, and Jody was out for the evening, and she called Deltrice at home, and unfortunately there wasn't an answer, so she called the landlord to go check on Deltrice. We're presuming that it was late at night, or maybe the early morning, when the landlord went to go check on her, and the landlord found Deltrice with two scarves wrapped around her neck. Deltrice was buried on Valentine's Day of 1990, and she's remembered and missed by Mary and her family, including her sister. There have been many theories about who murdered Deltrice, but detectives say that they don't have enough evidence to make any arrest. In 1999, Inspector Brad Johnson said, quote, "We probably know who did it, and we just can't prove it." That sucks. That's so sad.
Yeah.
He also said, quote, "It's one of the few cases that still haunts me." Sergeant Darcy Clund said, quote, "It's going to take somebody coming forward that knows more than what's being said." Law enforcement believes that the murderer was someone who was close to the Benson family and that Deltrice may have let them into the apartment while her mother was out. There's several Facebook posts about Deltrice's case, and we've seen that her sister and classmates have posted about how wonderful she was. We just saw a post from Jamie, and last June it looks like Jamie set up a candlelight service and a vigil for her sister. Mary said that her two sons, who are now in their 30s, saw Deltrice as a big sister and that they were greatly affected by her death.
I find this case especially heartbreaking because it does really depend on someone coming forward as opposed to the ability to test new forensic evidence.
Yeah.
When that doesn't exist, I'm sure it feels a little hopeless. that would be really hard to have closure.
Yeah.
And I hope that one day their family does get closure.
It's just sad to think about that every year that Mary is going to the police department and just being like, please remember her, even though they can't do anything. Their hands are, it seems like, tied until someone comes forward. But
yeah,
it's just an unfortunate situation all around.
Yeah. So when we were looking up true crime pertaining to flowers, one of the things that we saw an alarming amount of was that people are stealing flowers from grave sites to resell them.
Oh my gosh.
What the literal fuck?
People will do anything for a dollar, though. Like, ugh, it's
I hate horrific. This. I hate this. So in Riverdale, New Jersey, Linda Wingate was arrested for stealing flowers and selling them at her floral shop.
Oh no.
Yeah. So a cemetery in the area noticed that arrangements started going missing, so they installed surveillance equipment, which good on them, right? Because they could be like, flowers go missing, not my problem.
Exactly.
On that surveillance equipment, they caught Wingate taking the arrangements. And what she said was, she's like, oh, I'm just cleaning up old arrangements from people who I knew. But it was at night, and she was creeping about. I don't think you'd be creeping about. Then, in DeKalb County, Alabama, Martha Bowes was arrested after surveillance footage showed her stealing floral arrangements from the Painter Cemetery. David Scott and Mary Scott of Gateshead, Tyne, were convicted in relation to charges for stealing four floral arrangements from Preston Cemetery in North Shields. They also had a flower shop, and it was believed that they were stealing them to resell them. And Judge Dennis Ord said to them, you are a couple of grave robbers who committed a very shabby, heartless piece of stealing. Nobody with an ounce of decency would do what you did. I agree. That's shitty behavior. Can you imagine, like, grieving and then having to deal with that? Get fucked.
That's so dumb, too. There has to be a better way. Just thinking of how they even look after a couple hours.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to look as good as what a flower shop's flowers should look like either. I don't know. It just seems fruitless.
Yeah.
Well, that was a few instances, but there was so many.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing we'll talk about is flowers and scams. There are tons of fake flower companies that steal money from people. The Better Business Bureau said that there are fake floral sites popping up all over. Part of the problem is that the fake search results will be sponsored links, so people trust it more. Just because it's sponsored doesn't mean it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Even worse, some of the fake sites will impersonate reputable businesses.
Fucked.
So if you do look it up, it's an actual business with like an address and everything. One example of this is from New Bowers Flowers, that's a cute name, in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, which has been around since the 1920s. Their first search result, when you search for New Bowers Flowers, was for blossom flower delivery. Neubauer researched the company and said that it looks like it's owned by people in Iceland. He's had dozens of calls from customers telling him about the site, and sometimes prospective customers will call and ask about the bouquets that are on the fake site and then get frustrated that Neubauer doesn't know what they're referring to. But also, like, searching on Google is way harder than it used to be.
It really is. Like, they actually kind of want you to fail. If I'm honest, it does feel like that sometimes.
It's whoever, pays to be up top. So you could be like looking for the specific address and it'll be like, oh, do you mean that you want to go here? And you're like, fuck no, it doesn't. Even with Google Maps, I've noticed now, if you type in an address, it's like, actually, would you rather go here? And you're like, no, I just want you to tell me how to go there because I don't know where I am.
Yeah, help me help you.
Yeah.
Myself.
Yeah, it's a shit show. But to avoid being scammed, shop from local businesses. If you're suspicious, call the company. They'll walk you through it. If it sounds like they're a call center, especially for like a small flower shop, maybe be a little suspicious. There's also just straight up fraud when you order from some flower places because they never come. But there's also what some florists are calling order gatherers. In this version of scam, flowers will be delivered, but the order will be fulfilled by another company. So the order gatherer will disgustingly overcharge and tack on a bunch of extra fees at the end of the purchase. They'll end up being able to pocket about 50% of what the customer pays for the order. And this is all happening so often that some florists are including pages on their websites about the issue to warn people.
So if you go to order flowers from somewhere and it feels like it is way too expensive for flowers, maybe consider, should I order flowers from this place? pause for a second, maybe do a Google image search of those flowers, because it might be that they're actually from a local florist and this place is making money off of someone reasonably thinking that a reputable company would be higher in the search results.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, flowers are expensive, mm-hmm. to be fair. Like, when you're like, oh, it shouldn't be this much, and you look and you're like, oh my gosh, it's hundreds of dollars for like a nice bouquet. So just be careful out there when you're ordering. And funny enough, like, we've sent flowers for various reasons, and there are some very weird sites that come up.
Oh, yeah. I think I have definitely been scammed when I was ordering flowers for someone and it was kind of last minute, and yeah. I was like panicked. It's infuriating.
It is. Also, there was I have to send you it. There's like a small little, you know, documentary. I don't know what to call it. About how there's so many companies now that shop at other places for you. So like, mm-hmm. if you order groceries or fast food or, you know, all of those sites that are charging various amounts to different people for the same items in the same household, or depending on, I've seen a few. Again, I haven't tried this. Honestly, I have with one, but I don't remember which one it is, so I'm not going to bring up the name. But Mike has an Android. I have Apple, mm-hmm. and we both have opened the same app under our different names to order, and it's been different prices, the same thing.
Oh, I do not like that.
Fucking weird. Yeah, there's so many weird stuff. So just, I hate our world now, but everything wants to scam you.
Yeah, it is true. Nothing's safe. Not even just like a cute little flower moment.
Nope. So be super careful if you're going to be sending flowers tomorrow.
Yeah. Or, I mean, honestly, if you didn't already order them, you just need to go to Trader Joe's and pick up some. You know what I'm saying? You just need to, you need to go get them yourself. It's too late.
Yeah.
Amanda, what is your favorite flower? Caught her on the spot.
I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm not a flower person.
Really?
Like, I truly don't. No, like, I like them in a garden, but I don't like them in my house, like, in, like, dying, withering in a
vase. Okay, well, don't make it depressing. Stop shaming everyone who's getting flowers today, Amanda.
I'm sorry. But I like bright. Like, I like carnations because I can grow them and they won't die immediately, too.
I like rose bushes, like the little tiny guys. My number one favorite flower, a Gerber daisy. How can you be sad and look at a Gerber daisy?
Yeah.
So that wraps up our bouquet of flower facts. Crisp, for once in this fucking episode. The only single line of this entire episode. If you have an idea for another kind of grab bag episode, let us know. These are so fun to do and so fun to research because we get to look at a whole bunch of different stuff. Tag us in your flower photos. We'd love to see them.
Yeah.
And it's not only Valentine's Day, but today is Friday the 13th. So happy Friday the 13th.
Happy Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm. Hope everyone's getting tattoos and doing weird stuff.
Look, I did that once and I was like, you know, I don't want to wait 7 hours for a tattoo. I'd rather pay full price. If you get a Friday the 13th tattoo, we want to see it. We want to know about it. I'll post a picture of the ones that when I got a few years ago.
We need to plan our tattoo coming up soon.
We do.
That's a hint.
Hint.
Something is hint. Afoot.
Something is afoot. Again, there's a rich after outro.
Oh gosh, yeah.
Moment.
I've been on for a while.
Yeah, we went on for a minute, including a re-record of the front of this episode, which we'll probably put after just standard bloopers. So just know that you haven't lost your mind if it starts over again.
Yeah, it's just we forgot how to podcast again, like we do every week.
Yeah, sometimes we get just a little too loose with it. And we were like, you know, this is going to be a nightmare to edit. So we're just going to end of the episode, baby.
Also, we've been trying to learn new editing techniques these last couple weeks.
It's hard.
It is hard.
Yeah.
Editing's hard.
You know what? It is. And I am loving this journey for us.
We learned a big thing today.
I'm excited about it, but I'm also just like so disappointed that we hadn't figured it out sooner because we probably should have. But if you notice, it feels a little weird, bear with us. We're getting the hang of some stuff so that we can focus more on the fun content of our episodes and doing stuff like that rather than spending 20 plus hours editing, which is how long it is taking us to edit each episode. So we're trying to
be hip and learn things.
Yeah, we're trying to recalibrate our efforts so that we're all having fun. Well, with that, happy Friday the 13th and Valentine's Day.
Thanks for creeping with us.
Thanks for listening. And as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh. Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, More information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you.
I've never seen one game ever in my entire life.
Except
for little clips.
Of the Brewers specifically, or do you mean of sports? Like baseball?
Of sports. No. Of the Brewers.
I like that you had to classify that. Like, you thought that I thought that you'd watch Brewers games. If someone was like, hey, has Amanda watched a Brewer game? I would confidently bet my life that you hadn't before
we
you said that.
We have a lot of, like, spring training and that bullshit.
Oh, yeah,
here,
you do.
So.
Yeah. And if you know Amanda, you know that she loves to watch teams string. If you know Amanda, you know Amanda loves to watch team spring training. She's a real baseball preseason girly.
They keep trying to give Ollie tickets to things. Like, we did library
the Brewers?
Stuff. Yeah, Brewers. They're trying to get to us.
Why are they?
No.
I'm imagining. Just give me a second. You know the. I'm crying. You know the still with Jack Nicholson from The Shining, and he's got his face at the door with the axe, but it's the Brewers.
No, it's not the Brewers. What I was saying is spring training. Whoever the fuck keeps giving it to, like, the library to give out to kids and other places, we don't want it. We did, like, a reading thing last spring,
mm-hmm.
and at the library, and they kept giving my son spring training tickets, and he's like, why do I want to go to this? I was like, you don't.
I love going to a baseball game. Now, Ben will go to, like, two nights in a row when the Tampa Bay Rays are here, and he's like, do you want to go? And I was like, I will go to one of these games.
Mm-mm. Ollie did go to his first basketball game two nights ago and had a really good time. He enjoyed the snacks.
I'm not going to lie. I also am there for a hot dog. I am there for snacks as well. But also having a fun time when the weather is nice. Like on the day when it's too hot, it's... Oh, Jesus fucking Christ, my man. What? Hey, Ben.
We're not even talking about scary things.
Yeah. There's simply no reason for me to have responded in that way. We were talking about spring training. We are recording.
Spring training like baseball?
Yeah. Amanda and I are Brewers fans now.
And how the Brewers are out to get us.
We are. We are Brewers fans because they're haunting the other teams. And we know about Big Poppy. We know what they're doing.
I don't know this Big Poppy, but I will say... that as an avid baseball fan, talking to two people that don't like sports.
I like the Orioles.
We're sports girls.
We're sports girls. This is a sports podcast now.
They sport the sport hard.
They sport that sport so hard.
Name me one player on the, what is it, the Brewers you said?
Amanda, hurry up.
Name one player.
You want me to name one player?
Let's back up. You're an Orioles.
Jake
fan.
Bowers, name Christian Yelich. I don't know how to say that.
You want
Blake
the Orioles? Well, first, I'm going to need to tell you about the Brewers because there's Jake Bauer. And now you want me to tell you about the Orioles.
What position does he play? What was his name again?
Jake Bowers.
So what does Jake Bowers do?
He's left fielder.
He's a left fielder.
Oh, what's his batting average?
His batting average, you
Five.
Say? Does he bat?
They all
no.
do.
Not all the time, sometimes.
Everyone gets a turn. It's
I thought you could have a proxy batter.
What's that called?
A proxy batter.
What's that called?
A substitute.
That'd be a designated hitter.
The unlikely player.
I literally just said that. I said designated hitter.
He's sporting.
Wait, come back.
What?
Don't give me this. I'm going to eat it. Then people are going to leave us bad reviews. I did it like a long time ago.
And you got a bad review?
I appreciate you.
You did some chopping? People give you bad review?
Yeah.
Do you know where they live?
Yeah.
Where do they live?
It was from you.
You left us bad reviews.
Oh, God.
I can't speak now. Sorry.
You caught it from me.
Okay, let me say that again.
So that wraps up our bouquet of flower facts and such. One, if you get flowers today, if you get flowers, please tag us in them if someone has fucked up. Don't say it. Don't say it. Only if you're mad at them.
You're going to cause so many fights this Valentine's Day.
I'm out for blood. No.
Okay, brewers.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I'm going to redo that part. Okay.
Oh, I'm talking. How many 12-year-old boys and or golden retrievers is that, though?
Oh, man. Okay. Inches. How many inches are in a mile? Inches in mile. Okay. If there are 63,360. Okay. So 0.62 times 63,360 inches is 39,283 divided by 29.5. That's 793.6 12-year-old boys.
But anyways, yes, the brewers are out to get us somehow, and they're trying to get to your kids.
No.
They're inviting them to games and making you watch it. It's horrible.
Look, the brewers are trying to get your children interested in the sports, then you have to go watch it. And you're like,
I know.
Please don't make me do this.
My kid had two games last week. Look, two is unfair, and a practice.
Look, here's the deal. If you're going to make us go to sporting events, the least you can do is give us a minimum of two ghost stories.
Yes.
Now, at the Orioles games,
I keep hearing Oreos, and I was like, all right.
Okay. The O's, if you will. Well, first off, hot dogs. What a treat. But also a race between ketchup, mustard, and relish, and they vary who wins. It's fun every time.
Okay.
People intensely cheer for a condiment. And I probably cheer harder for the condiment than anything else.
I guess. Yeah.
It's a fun time. I don't know, man. You get caught up in it.
My child, when he went, he decided he's getting ready. He was invited last minute by one of his friends, and Mike was going too. And as he's getting ready, Mike went to go get a coat or something. And he looks at me and he has some money on the counter that he's had since his birthday. And he takes $40 and he puts in his pocket. I'm like, what are you doing? And he's like, just in case Dad says that I can't get extra candy, I'm going to tell him I'll just buy it myself.
He's like, I'm an independent man.
And I'm like, well, you're already pre-planning to get too much candy?
But I do like that he's like, look, I will pay for it on my own if you won't get it for me. He's like, that's how committed I am to it. I respect that.
He was very excited for the snacks.
I also have to buy candy with my own money, and I hate it.
But he's like, don't tell him I'm doing this. And so, yeah, they get back from the game, and Mike's like, did you know that he brought money? And I was like, yeah.
But I'm not a narc.
He's like, he wanted, I think it was like a giant thing of Nerd clusters plus a Twix bar and something else. And when he said pick one or the other, he's like, I'll just order it myself.
I love that. He's just like, I can't be bothered with you.
We were talking about how they're trying to give children tickets to these spring training games that I don't want to go to.
What I love is that we've been talking about sports for a solid 10 minutes because we talked about daffodils.
The fucking Brewers.
The fucking Brewers, man. Lovingly, though.
Okay, so now, yeah, let's talk about love.
Yeah. I sat on my wire, then began to talk while I was truly just waving it around and hitting everything. So, what a time. I like it when you call me Big Poppy. I tried so hard. But
hey, we did that in a couple minutes, though. We did good.
Yeah, I do need to point out that some of that still has tangents that's going to end up at the end of the episode, and that was 7 minutes compared to the 20 minutes before. What a time.
We're doing our best.
We're doing our best. Don't yell at me. No one's yelling at me. I've seen on TikTok where people have built, like, little, like, enclosures in their yards that they kind of do with sunflowers. I don't know how to describe it, and I'm not a gardener, so don't ask me how. But it was magical looking.
Have you ever been to a sunflower field?
There's one near us where people take a lot of photos, but yeah. I have not.
A couple times ago that I went to Kansas, we went to the sunflower fields and did a family photo shoot. It was very cute. Oh, that's cute.
I was going to ask you if you were going to talk about someplace there, because I was like, can you have sunflowers in Arizona? Isn't that illegal because of the sun?
I just had a garden in my backyard for a little bit. But I learned the hard way that you have to move it. You can't just plant it in the same spot every year.
What happens?
It doesn't grow very well. They don't grow as tall and as pretty.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
Weird, right?
The more you know. You can just go ahead and ignore that.
I want to talk about poppies again. God
fucking damn it.
Oh my god. I hope the brewer saw that so much.
I made a Scooby-Doo meme that had our head as Fred and then pulling off the mask and it was the brewer's. Just chef's kiss. It's on our social media. It made me laugh so hard.
I'm sure they loved it.
Amanda, right. I literally forgot you had a fake background on, and I was like, you've got a fire behind you, because I just like saw it out of the corner of my eye, and I got so worried for you.
Oh, I wish I had a fireplace. I wish that the outside looked like that, because outside it's 80 degrees and sunny all the time, and I fucking hate it.
Look, you say that, but I will tell you that it is the first snowstorm that we really had in like a decade, and I am so tired of seeing the fucking snow, and it is like, for days, it was just really glum. It's real glum. Well,
this outside with like foggy, grayness is what I want.
That's like a pre-snow day, it looks like.
I was thinking more like Seattle.
I feel like the only time you would see that particular thing would be like dusk on a day it's going to snow. Anyway, let's keep going, because this is never going to... We're at 44 minutes and we are...
Holy fuck. Okay, yeah.
We are at page 2 of 7.
Did it look right to you?
No, it didn't. Let's go. Amanda and I have been recording True Creeps for over 5 years, and we've been doing it via, like, video call of some sort this entire time. And today, we realized that our audio has, like, a 1 second delay. And, like, when we edit, we often are, like, removing the speech a little bit because we talk over each other so much. And it never felt like I was doing it that much in person. But, like,
yeah,
on the audio file, like, when we would match them up, it would do that. So we learned that we aren't just interrupting each other all the time. It's literally that there's a 1 second delay that we never knew about. Mm-hmm. Wow. What a lesson. Also, this is a record that I literally started the recording with a tangent.
Oh my gosh, yeah, we didn't even make it to a second.
Didn't even make it to a full second of the episode before I was like, actually, I immediately have something else to tell you. This will be at the end of the episode anyway. You know I love a good end of episode fodder.
I kind of wish we were recording it, because it's so fucking stupid.
So Amanda and I were like, we're going to match up our audio to make sure that it's like starting at the exact same time, right? So she's like, okay, we're going to clap. So she's like, I almost said fingering 1, 2, 3, but that is the wrong phrasing. And then I did say it. She's doing like 1, 2, 3 with her fingers. Still sounds weird, but you get what I'm saying here. And then we would clap. And when I did it, the delay was so real that I was almost like, Amanda, you were supposed to clap, because it was like clap. And then the other person, you could count like 1 Mississippi, 2, and then the other person clapped. So that's how we learned that there was a delay. But it's the silliest looking thing, because like, I can't even describe it. My brain straight fried. I can't believe we're just now figuring this out. But anyway, hey, everybody.
Let's start the episode now.
Yeah, let's get right on into it.
Starts.
Perfect. Okay. Hey, everybody. Today, we've got another one of our little grab bag episodes. I'm going to call it a bouquet episode, if you will, to stay on brand. Because today, we're going to talk about flowers. We've got myths. We've got hauntings. We've got true crimes. And then some little interesting flower science facts that relate to some of the disasters we've talked about before. That was my favorite part of this episode, by the way, was that type of research. Because I was like, woof, who knew? But you're going to know in a second.
I just like that you're a flower scientist now.
Yeah. Not a botanist, a flower scientist.
Obviously.
And what better thing to talk about right around Valentine's Day? You know?
Yeah, I prefer the holiday that it's today more than Valentine's Day, though.
Oh, Friday the 13th?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I would say yes to Friday the 13th, but also to my sister-in-law's birthday. She turns 40 today.
Yay! Happy birthday!
Take this out. Not as, I don't think she doesn't listen to fucking us, but love the idea of it. You know what I mean? Whatever.
It's, maybe she will this one. She loves Friday the 13th and Valentine's Day.
I keep trying to get my brother to have a Friday the 13th themed birthday party for her. It's not working well.
I did.
My I know.
30th landed on Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah. I was like, I also thought just like Lucky 13 would be a cute theme, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. What a day. Okay. Let's get right on into our topics for today. We have talked about the spooky side of flowers in a good bit of our episodes before, but mainly when we've discussed poison, but mainly it's when we've discussed poisons, like Julia Tofana's Aqua Tofana, which is rumored to have included belladonna, and then Lavinia Fisher's use of oleander, and then Lavinia Fisher's use of oleander in her poison tea. And if you're like, oh my gosh, what episodes are these in? Julia Tofana, Queens of Poison, and Lavinia Fisher, I mean, shocker here, it's named that, but that is where evil horses come from, that lore, if you're tracking it to some True Creeps.
History?
Lore? Urban legends? Who could say?
I don't know.
But
I don't know what we are anymore.
That being said, that's all we're going to do talking about poisons about flowers, because I feel like that's just too on the nose. You know what I mean? We got to get a little more obscure, if you will.
Weird. Yeah.
Got a little weird. Okay. So let's just start out with some historical little fun facts. Some sources say that roses were used as money in the 17th century and that Victorian homes in the 19th century typically had a Bible and a flower dictionary. I was like, okay, they fucking love their flowers. But I also if you think of like Victorian times, I feel like there's a lot of like nonverbal communication that people took very seriously, like using fans to communicate and shit. And they're like, whatever we can use other than fucking words, it's like the measurements of today.
That's what I was going to say. And then we moved on to measurements.
Yeah.
So, what was it someone sent us the other day? I was dying. It was in our story. Oh, it was how much the ice weighs on trees because of the big storm.
Oh, my gosh.
It was perfect.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
I think it was measured. Oh, someone sent us a meme from, it looked like a news site. It could have been AI. Who could know anymore? But it was something like, when it's this cold, the ice settling onto trees weighs so many pounds. And it was like, that's equivalent to like 52 golden retrievers or something like that. It was funny.
I will tell you that I am so fucking tired of the ice and snow that is still here from like 2 weeks ago.
It was 80 today, so I don't know what you're saying.
We are plagued by snow. It will not melt. We live directly behind my parents, or they live directly behind us, however you want to see it. And I was in the office and my mom needed someone to go see her. And Ben made the brave decision to travel from our house to my parents' house on what is, and I mean this, only ice with nothing to hold on to. Like, he was just a hope and a fucking prayer, like sliding over there. And I was like, do you know what I would do to get there? And he's like, what? And I was like, scoot. That's the only safe method of travel across that much ice.
But could you guys drive?
One, Ben graciously let me drive his car to work, which you understand how amazing that is for Ben. But so he didn't have his car. And two, I would just say that my parents' driveway was not Ben friendly.
Got it.
But no, yeah, but it's not, my parents don't live far, obviously, but it is far if the entire path is ice. Anyway, more end of episode stuff.
Yeah. Also, to go back to the meme I was talking about, here's the specifics. Mm-hmm. So the weight of ice, like on a tree, a 30-foot wide tree with half a layer of ice is about 7,125 pounds of ice. Well, Blair sent us this fantastic graphic, and it was the weight of ice for a half inch of ice is equivalent to 109.5 golden retrievers.
That's so specific.
And it has a picture of the golden retrievers in the branches.
Oh, hey, real quick, one moment. It's been a minute since we've done this, so I actually don't have the number handy in my head. Let me just
what?
Average.
Oh, my God, fired.
Oh, why isn't my keyboard working? Oh my gosh, it's like, you don't need to type this in. And I'm like, yeah, I do. Don't you tell me what to do, computer. Average weight of a 12-year-old boy. You know, I'm never worried about people looking at my search history. I'm worried about them seeing how I've spelled things. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not good. It's me just, like, missing straight, like, letters and it being kind of gibberish. Okay. 77 to 22. Okay. What was that weight you gave?
Okay. It is 7,125 pounds of ice.
Heard. Understood. Which is, I got you.
Equivalent to 109.5 golden retrievers.
But that is only 71.6 12-year-old boys. Yeah.
If you want to go ahead and just email that news station real quick.
Yeah, I'll let them know.
This would make more sense to the populace.
Yeah, people. But most people understand 12-year-old boy weight.
Please look at the picture, though, because it does have half a golden retriever in the middle.
Honestly, you fucking have to. Like, you can't just say that and not show it. You know me loving to say a word, then not finishing it.
Yeah. 2 seconds later.
I'm tired, my man. Stop. Look, when Amanda left out of this, maybe she didn't, and I was just too busy doing 12-year-old boy math, is a couple things. First, the golden retrievers in the photo are in the tree, and they're in the foliage. Like, they're tucked in. Yeah, they're the branches, and the half, you may have thought they do, like, length of the body. No, they did a top-to-bottom split. Like, like a head-on split. And then it says, the weight of ice, why power outages are possible. But then apparently it was brought to you by the Sistine Chapel Experience.
But it says it's from CBS Austin.
Yeah. Well, Texas was like,
oh yeah, it was fun.
It's cold here. We don't know what to do. Okay, let's get back to our episode.
But thanks, Blair, for sending us that.
Thank you, Blair. Yeah, my bad.
That's one of my favorite messages that I get on our Instagram, mm-hmm. is people sending us different variations of measurement.
Yeah. Also, if you ever decide to make your own version of a measurement meme, know that if you tag us, so long as it is not problematic, obviously, we will repost this, because that is, like, one of the brands of humor that will always be funny to me. I think, like, I don't think it's ever going to get old.
No, it won't.
Okay.
All that goes to the end of the episode.
We are currently clocking in at just about 12 minutes with about a minute and a half of episode content. So,
if that.
You know us, check to the end of the episode for tangents, bloopers, random weird things we've said. Who knows what else? Okay.
Who knows what'll happen?
So let's get into some flower superstitions and myths. So, legend has it, or myth, or what have you, is that planting a rose bush next to a grave can protect the soul from evil. In Roman times, they would hand wrote. What the fuck did I type? I'm gonna read it, what it says, and that can go at the end of the episode. But in Roman times, they would hand roses would be hung over or carved over a dinner table / meeting space to make sure that he conversations beneath he rose would stay secret. Beneath he rose. Okay. In Roman times, they would hang roses or they would be carved over the dinner table or a meeting space to make sure that the conversations beneath the rose would stay secret. I don't know how that works or why, but maybe I'm assuming it's like magic thinkings. Sure.
Yeah. Just like the thing that you put on the barn.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The 7-pointed star to get the snallygaster to not snally your gaster.
Yeah. Obviously.
Nobody wants to get their snallygaster.
I feel like this is just going to be an episode of nonsense. Like, we've given up. Like,
it's not even that. It's that I don't ever mean to make enough tangent content for an Oops All Tangent episode. Sometimes the tangents have me. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we're at today. Okay. Sunflower myths are tied to numerology, and worldnumerology.com defines numerology as an ancient practice based on the idea that the entire universe is a system that mathematically breaks down into basic elements. Numbers. Like, it's not that I, like, believe what you believe, but it's just the writing of it is very dramatic, and I appreciate that. So it's thought that the practice reveals the inner nature and vibration of numbers and how they correspond to your personal characteristics. So in that same kind of vein, some cultures have believed that an even amount of flowers in a bouquet symbolizes death. So a dozen flowers, maybe not so romantic. And we'll talk more about some other numbers related to flowers in just a moment.
When you were going on about
when you were going on about numerology.
Hopefully your mic picked it up, because sometimes it likes when you whisper.
Yeah, sometimes, like, it doesn't.
Never mind.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry. If it doesn't, I will record that again.
I hope it's just like every other word.
Yeah. Like, I hope it is, but I'm also like, I don't want to have to do enough. You can always tell when we've, like, done a little bit of podcasting by ourselves to fix a section, because Amanda and I suddenly become, like, podcasters. And we actually talk really seriously versus when we look at each other. We're just chatting with each other and you. You know what I mean?
But what I was going to say is, did you see all of the people on social media probably like a month ago, freaking out because they said that in schools they are teaching Arabic and they are like, how do we get this to stop? I don't want my kid learning it. And it's literally just the digits 1 through 9.
Yeah.
I was dying.
Yeah, I did see that and I was like, I'm tired. Like, I'm just tired.
I was like, that's all I want my kid to learn. Sorry.
Anywho.
But yeah. It popped into my head.
I know. Look. What is True Creeps if not it popped into my head? You know what I mean? She took a sip when I said it. Okay. In Ireland, primroses on your door swept. So then just some lore from Ireland. Some folks believe that primroses on your doorstep will entice fairies to protect your home and all who live there. And that with that, one should walk carefully around primrose patches because they're believed to be a gateway into the fairy world.
There's a lot of those gates. And for something not wanting people in it, they leave a lot of gates around.
I mean, yeah, but also, like, you know, that's what they got to do. They got to trick some people into coming on over. They harvest their bones or teeth or whatever fairies do. No be fairies. Two paws up.
Did you see the lure surrounding Elf on a Shelf and how it could have been made by the Fae?
Okay, well, stop. First off, love that. Secondly, I got one of the most fun Christmas presents this year from our friend Nick, which was ghost face at your place. And it's an elf on the shelf, but it's not obviously elf on the shelf. It's just like ghost face. It's like, this is chef's kiss. So
did
excited
it make
about
sure
it.
All the cats behaved.
It did. Ever vigilant. Okay, let's move on to poppies. They're beloved for their gorgeous color. Jesus fucking I can't. No drinking for you, ma'am. Okay.
I just need my third coffee of the day.
Oh, just in case you were wondering, I had coffee with my protein shake, a triple latte, and then like a large monster, and I could sleep literally right now into 7:19 p.m. Mm-hmm. Okay. If it sounds like this is edited a lot, it's because it is, because we have a lot of things to say in between. So I'm trying to maintain, but a girl can only do what a girl can do, you know? So, poppies are beloved for their gorgeous color and their medicinal properties, which also, the color of red poppies is stunning, just generally. Mm-hmm. And people have also believed that poppies can bring good crops and banish worries, but typically, those are 13 stems, because any less would bring bad luck. So it's like, if someone brings you 12 poppies, you get to throw it at them and go, don't you bring me bad luck!
Yeah.
Those are the rules. I don't make them, I'm just enforcing them.
Enforcing them. Please make like a graphic for Valentine's Day. If someone brings you 12 poppies, throw it back at them and say, take your bad luck out of here.
I just love the idea that, like, nope, my brain threw it away. Is she gone? I'm running on so little sleep. I'm just
such a fucking episode. Okay.
We're at the point where I'm like, do we restart? But this is good. It's good. You know, It's happening.
We're trying here.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on restarting but leaving this for end of episode content? Because we are literally a half page down.
Yeah, if you want.
Okay.
One, two, three.
No, don't stop. Don't stop.
Oh, no, don't stop.
Don't stop. We're just going to keep going. I'm literally just going to cut and go put it at the back and all be right. Like, are we all having fun yet?
Sometimes.